We'll go ahead and start shortly.
Ready? Okay. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Library of RC4. Today is Wednesday. December 9th. During this time, I would like to go ahead and begin the roll call. So for all of those who are in person and online, could you please state your name and the district that you represent?
Board Member Kukowski from Saguaro.
Board Member E. Ndabu, Member at Large.
Board Member Calvin.
Okay, and for the record, Board Member Timothy Ndabu is also on the call.
Lauren Snare.
Thank you. And also, I have an announcement this evening for the board who are here in person and online. Well, we're going to roll call right now.
Diane Coker Choya.
As it was previously stated, I have an announcement for the board who are in person and online. One of our board members has resigned, and her name was Karen Avorn. And I would just like to, you know, if she's on the call this evening, just thank her for her committed time and service and dedication to the city, and wish her the best in all her future endeavors. Next item on the agenda is, can the board please take an opportunity to look at the approval of minutes from the previous meeting on November 18, 2020? During this time, are there any questions or comments in regards to the approval of minutes on November 18th?
For the board members attending online, were there any corrections or edits to the minutes?
No changes or corrections on my part.
Okay, Thank you, Board Member Timothy Ndavu.
Thank you, Board Member Timothy Ndavu.
Okay. Move to submit the minutes as we have read them.
Okay. I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those that oppose? Okay, thank you. We'll be right along to new business. Mr. Becky, please share with the board the agenda item about the library volunteer program.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Johnson and members of the Library Advisory Board. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to Cassandra Charles. She stepped out to get the presentation on the flash drive, but we recently hired her to be responsible for our volunteer program. And so what she's going to be doing is she's going to be consolidating all of our volunteer efforts.
And so what she's going to be doing is she's going to be consolidating all of our volunteer.
And so she's going to be taking over the role of 9 people. We used to have 9 people that would do this role over bits and pieces of it, and she's going to consolidate it. And so for efficiency, she's taking a look at our programming, and she's also taking a look at our volunteer applications. And so we'll have her speak shortly on that.
Well, hello, my name is Cassandra. I am the new volunteer coordinator. So Mike's working on getting the presentation pulled up, but I believe Kayla sent it out. So I'll go ahead and get started. So my role as the volunteer coordinator is to recruit, train, and coordinate volunteers and evaluate the volunteer program and projects for the library system. So primarily right now, recruiting, training volunteers, not a lot of that's going on because we don't have in-person volunteer opportunities, but evaluating the volunteer program and projects is a huge component of what I'm doing currently. So our evaluation process, what I've done with that is I've met with all of the coordinators on the 4 branches, both adult and teen coordinators. We have 2 at each branch, so an adult coordinator, a teen coordinator. So I met with all of them to really look and see what are their standard practices right now and what are their procedures and protocols for onboarding volunteers and recruiting volunteers. To try to create a system-wide volunteer program among the branches. I've also met with coordinators from other municipalities to learn their best practices, challenges that they may face in their volunteer program, to see again, are there anything, ideas that we can implement potentially at Glendale Public Library, or things that we're already doing that across the board other municipalities are doing as well. In the evaluation process, I'm consolidating volunteer records. So I've pulled all the volunteer records from all the branches. They are now housed out of Maine. I'm processing each of those files. So going through them, making sure of Logistics, which is our database for our volunteers, update it. I'm scanning and electronically filing all of our records as well to try to eliminate as much paperwork as possible. So in the volunteer engagement and retention component, we have gone out and surveyed our volunteers on appreciation methods that they prefer. So some of those questions that we asked were, I prefer a simple thank you, which all of our volunteers that responded, that's what they really enjoy, is a simple thank you. Or one of the things that surprised us was want professional development and training. Our volunteers are looking for more of that. So looking at what are some ways that they want to be appreciated to help with our engagement and retention methods. We are updating, like I said, our volunteer database, Volgistics, with when we've sent out surveys or sent out emails, we've asked for updated addresses, phone numbers, and so we've been able to update that in the process right now too of our current volunteers. While evaluating the records, we're trying to establish our baseline for retention. So really seeing, are we retaining our volunteers? At what level are we retaining them, both from a teen and adult standpoint? So creating that baseline of retention for our volunteers to really see how can we grow the program and where are our challenges, where are we doing great, and what do we need to focus on a little bit more. So volunteer recruitment, while we're not doing a lot of that right now because we're closed in person, we are looking at methods to, when we do open, how can we ramp that up? Next slide, yep. And so we want to do online platforms, which include social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, it's a huge one, Snapchat, looking at those. So we look to our teens or what are some good teen recruitment methods, but also other online platforms, Volunteer Match. So looking at those different online platforms to really reach out to new members. And then we'll also have, when we open up, going out into the community and having recruitment methods there. We've created standard interview questions. So same interview questions will be asked of every single candidate that comes into the volunteer library. So whether they're teen or adult, they'll all be asked the same questions across the board to keep it standardized. We've created a COVID-19 safety procedures for when volunteers do come back in person. They will have COVID-19 safety procedures. These are based off of current CDC guidelines. So obviously looking back at those, updating them as CDC updates their guidelines and recommendations, we'll update those. We're updating our application, our online application for our volunteers, looking at what questions we really want to capture, what information we really want to capture in order to continue to reach out to our current volunteers and best engage them in preferred methods of contact. So during this process with recruitment, retention, recognition, we've looked at our positions. We currently have across the board 16 positions. We've created standardized position descriptions for all of these positions that you see listed. Some are applicable to all of the branches and some are just certain branches like drive up window, only applicable to Foothills branch. But most of these are applicable to all of the different branches across the board. So there's a standard position description for each of these volunteers. So a book sale volunteer comes in, it's gonna be same position description that everybody will get for that. So that's nice that they'll all have that. And those position descriptions include what the position is, description, what the responsibilities are, requirements, time commitment that we're looking for, who they're going to report to, so that a volunteer can really look and see what is my role here in the library. So volunteer appreciation. I've created a volunteer recognition milestones for our volunteers. So looking at hours, what do they get at when they meet those certain milestones? So that we can really, the goal is to create kind of a succession plan so anybody can come in and pick up a volunteer recognition milestone and go, okay, this is what we know our volunteers get at 100 hours, 250 hours, and having that matrix for our recognition. We do have volunteer lanyards that we're giving out to our volunteers for the holiday season, and I think Mike has your three here, and you, all you on Zoom will also be getting this. But it says Glendale Library Volunteer. So this is a way too for our patrons to recognize who our volunteers are on the floor when they come. It's just a great method to say, easily identify, oh, they're a volunteer with the library, but appreciation for our volunteers as well. So this will go out with a little card. We should get them out either this week or early next week in the mail. So wait, stay tuned. You'll get those soon. And then also creating an appreciation events calendar for our volunteers. So when they come back in person, and even not in person right now because we're still sending these out, be able to hit appreciation events throughout the year to recognize our volunteers, whether big or small. So we'll have smaller events, we'll have bigger events throughout the year. So our overall program, developing a volunteer matrix, so really looking at those key components that we're hitting in a volunteer program to really standardize the program for all four branches, making sure that we're hitting all those different key components. So we've created a volunteer development matrix. And then I'm also working on creating a standard operating procedure for the volunteer coordinator and the volunteer program. So that includes how do we onboard a volunteer? How do we, if they want to do professional development, how do we do that? If they want to promote to a different position, transfer to a different position, how do we do that? Exiting a volunteer, disciplining a volunteer, that will all be included in the standard operating procedures. So the goal of the SOP is that anybody can come on, pull up the standard operating procedure and take the program and continue the program on, and that we're not just creating it every time. So that is what I'm currently working on. Are there any questions? Okay.
Well, actually, I have a question, Diane Kukrajoya. Are there just specified volunteer positions, or can those be, can you expand that, or?
Yes, yeah, so we'll look to, and that will all depend on, that's kind of when we evaluate the programs and projects, it's do we want to grow, and where do we want to grow? And so these positions are not, we can never change them. They're going to be forever changing based off of the needs of the library and the volunteer needs too. So we'll look and see, maybe we have a certain project that we bring on, and so we need to create a position for certain projects that we bring on. So absolutely we'll have different positions that will ever be changing. Yeah, these are kind of our standard positions right now.
Okay.
Yep.
Also, just a suggestion, I know a couple years ago, the library board was invited to a staff development session. Do you remember that, Mike?
Here, I
did. Was here at the main library. And I came, and I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. And I think that's something that volunteers would love to be included in.
Yeah.
Just the regular staff development, you know, maybe their own development. You know, it sounded like you said something about they want a professional development. But it was just so nice to be included in that staff development session. I really appreciated that. And I think volunteers would also.
Yeah, that question, we actually had quite a few respondent that they did want to see professional development and training as part of. That was a question we asked, and we got a response that said somewhat to highly likely want to see that as part of their volunteer program.
Are there any other questions for Ms. Cassandra?
No questions from board member Team Dabu Cactus District. Thank you very much for the presentation. That was a wonderful presentation, Ms. Kestad.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cassandra, for your time. And it was a very good, thorough presentation.
My pleasure.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Ms. Jarrah, for your presentation.
Moving on to the next agenda item. Mr. Beck, can you please share with the board the unique library services?
Thank you, Chair Johnson and members of the board. So everyone knows the library has the market on books, but one of the things that I wanted to highlight, or actually a few things I would like to highlight tonight, are some of the unique opportunities that the libraries are doing, especially your Glendale Public Library, on some services that you may or may not be aware of. And so even during a global pandemic, the library continues to offer a wide variety of diverse services. And so I figured I would take the time to talk about a few of them that are listed on the agenda. So, for example, interlibrary loan is a service, or ILL as libraries call it, is a service where we go outside our library system to California, Florida, some cases Europe, to try and find books that customers may be wanting. For example, it could be a scientific journal article, it could be a book on a specific medical condition, or it might be any material that the library doesn't own proper. And so we have a resource called WorldCat, or World Catalog, that we can just about find any item in the world on that subject. And then we can also get it here shipped for free to the library. And so anybody, any patron of the library that has a card in good standing can submit a request either in person, through the telephone, or online, and then we can go ahead and get those requests in. And so typically we can get those requests in with 2 or 3 weeks because they're shipped library rate. But then also we can do scientific articles, so we can have the ability, if there's a medical journal on a specific article, that we can go on your on the patron's behalf and we can get photocopied and printed at a nominal fee to get those sent over as well. So we literally have the opportunity to get just about any material on our hands that a patron may or may not wish to have. And so this is just another good service to have. And it might be a specific resource that could be out of print, or because of the expense, that this, it just makes good business sense that we can have among libraries to be able to offer this service. So we don't necessarily have to spend $400 or $500 on a particular medical journal when we can get the article that the patron needs as well. And so it just helps stretches our dollars, but it also can gives us the ability to just about find any book or article in the world for the benefit of our patron. Also, some other services we talked about during the global pandemic to help supplement schools. You may or may not be aware, we touched on a little bit that we've revamped our teacher collection, and where we've included homeschools and daycares and other agencies that can help do what's called a teacher box or a teacher collection. And so, say for example, a teacher or a homeschooling parent may want to have 35 books on a particular country or continent or cuisines or different cultures, so we can gather those books up ahead of time. You know, usually it's about 2 weeks in advance of the pickup. The staff will pull the books on their behalf, and then they can check out up to 35 items for 3 weeks. And then you can be able to also do that online and on the phone as well. So, and you can also do this from time to time. So when you have one teacher box collection, you can turn it in, but you can also submit a second request if you know in advance that you've got another topic or subject that's coming in as well. Our youth department, usually at each branch, will be the ones that have pulled these materials as well. And so their staff selected. Generally, we don't put in popular DVDs for that because it's strictly for an educational purpose. And plus, they can also check out those on a regular card. But this is mainly to help augment and supplement either school teachers, homeschoolers, and daycares as well. And you got to like the price, too. We offer this service for free as well. A third resource that's recently restarted is our Culture Pass program. And so we touched on it a little bit in an earlier meeting, but we have three agencies that are now opening to visitors during COVID. And that's Arc Asante, the Heard Museum in Phoenix, and then the Scottsdale Museum of Contemporary Art. They are now accepting patrons again as well. And we have these available at all four branches. And that program, you go to a shelving system that has a placard for these three institutions, and then you take the placard, it gets checked out by a staff member, and they give you a receipt that's good for 2 tickets for within that week. And so this is a good opportunity if you're new to Arizona or new to the Valley or just want a good educational experience for free. It's a good opportunity to see these organizations and institutions. Our partners, Act One, is a nonprofit group that helps supplement and makes this partnership possible. And so pre-COVID, there's all kinds of agencies that are involved in this as well, like the Desert Botanical Garden is one, the Japanese Friendship Garden, the Irish Cultural Museum, Pueblo Grand Museum. So it's a good cross-section and a diverse section of agencies and museums as well. And you get to be able to do this for free. they generally would come first come, first serve, but usually there's usually not a wait for these particular organizations, and right now it's limited to the three, but I am happy to report that this is another service that the library offers. Another one too is if you're trying to find something to do out in the community while we're quarantining or isolating, is that we also have a resource called Book Clubs to Go. So if you have friends, neighbors, church groups, or your places of worship that you want to do a book club, we have a certain they come in a bag and we have a title, and we have multiple copies in regular and large print on that. They also come with discussion questions. They also come with some author biographical information, reviews of the books, kind of a summation of the story to help foster a good book club. And then those also are reservable. So if you know in advance, if you're in a book club, like in a traditional book club, and you know in advance, you need to know and recognize what title that's going to be the next month, you can reserve those from the library in advance, and then we can have those ready for you within a 72-hour time frame. And those also check out for 3 weeks. And then lastly, one resource or service that we started not that long ago is called the Seed Library. And so what that is that we work with our partnering city department, the Water Conservation Group, and what they do is that they provide what's called a seed library. And so what they do is that they have literally seeds that you can plant, and you can grow your own fruits and vegetables. And so they also qualify based on the seasons. And so this year, right now, we have what's called the autumnal season or seed selection. So if you come to one of our libraries, you have the ability to check out, quote unquote, you don't have to return anything back. These are donated by the Water Conservation Department, but you're free to check out, quote unquote, these seeds for these different varieties, and they can include spinach, onions, carrots, several kinds of leafy greens, collards, kale, and that regard, arugula as well. And so you can check out up to 3 varieties and plant and see how you're doing, especially when it comes to container gardening. And these are all free services that the library offers. In addition to our traditional services, we offer some very unique services, and so thank you for the opportunity to single these 5 out, and I'll be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. During this time, does anyone from the board, both online or in person, have any questions?
I have a question about the book clubs to go. How many books are included in each packet?
It's at least 10, board member and Dobbin.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that generally is the number from our traditional book clubs. Any groups beyond that, it usually that just seems to be the optimal number, is that we usually try to have the book clubs around 10 in members or 10 copies. Good question.
Oh, I have a question about the book club also. Is any title available for the book club? Do you gather 10 copies of any book that's requested?
Thank you, Board Member Coker. So it's not necessarily any title. We have designated titles. So if you go online, and then we have a list of all of our titles that we have available. But we have, I believe, between 75 and 100 titles that are available downstairs. And so we keep those in the storage room, and they're available upon request. And so, like I said, usually within 2-3 day turnaround, we can get those ready for you. Mm-hmm. But we do have a list. They include, you know, some of the classics, but also some pop culture and modern books as well, too. So mysteries, that kind of thing, biographical. So we always try to have a good, diverse cross-section of materials. But if you go online to the library's website at glendaleaz.com/library, you should be, .com/library, you should be able to see the listing of those titles.
Okay, thank you.
Very good.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Beck. During this time, Mr. Beck, can you please share with the library?
If I may, please. This is Board Member Dabu, Cactus District, Timothy Dabu. I also had one question regarding the Chief Librarian's presentation, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead, Board Member Dabu.
Thank you. Chairman Johnson, and also Mr. Beck, you reminded me of the catalog. The Glendale catalog is looking fantastic. And also, I think it mentions who actually curates the different genres of the book clubs.
Board Member Timothy Andavu. Oh, you're asking who does? And so, thank you, Board Member Timothy Andavu. So, we do have a dedicated collection development person, Kathy Curley. She's presented to the Library Advisory Board group before. And so, she has final oversight of the collection and the resources. And so, she's dedicated to helping make sure that we have the correct, diverse variety of offerings for that service that we have. And so, yes. Her name is Kathy Curley, and so she's our dedicated collection development person.
And yes, she's a fantastic. She was a fantastic addition when she was introduced to the Library Advisory Board. She gave us a great presentation. And one last question was regarding the WorldCat, and the mentions that you mentioned that this was something that has to be purchased. If I'm remembering that correctly.
So, Board Member Timothy Andavu, and so we don't purchase the books when it comes to interlibrary loan. WorldCat we have access to, in which we can, OCLC, I believe, is the driver for that. And so that is a service that's free to our patrons.
Is that service going to be expandable in the future? As you had mentioned, that it's invaluable for finding things that are obscure or are just in general are not in the library system.
And so we that is a service that we currently offer as well. And so we're always looking for ways to cross-promote that service as well. And so we do a pretty good job. We are considered a net lender for that. And so it means our collection is strong enough is that we get requests from outside as well as filling requests from inside library patrons as well. And so it's almost like another reciprocal borrowing arrangement as well. So we, other libraries are willing to lend us their materials, and we have to be willing to lend ours to them as well. Good question.
I appreciate that, and thank you very much, Mr. Beck, for your fantastic answers.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, board member Snare, you have a question?
Thank you, Chair. Warren Snare. Do they have like the book bundles that you were talking about for the book clubs for teen books as well? Or is it just adults?
It should be a good cross section, but I can follow up as appropriately, Board Member Snare. But we have some teen materials, but I'll follow up on that.
Thank you.
Sure. Good question.
Are there any more questions for Mr. Beck? Okay, moving on to the next agenda. Mr. Beck, can you please share with the board your response to COVID-19 library updates?
Thank you, Chair Johnson and members of the board. And so I'm happy to report that the library is still operating at successful lobby and drive-through services. And so we will be continuing in this model for the foreseeable future. Just to give you some numbers of what we're still looking at, to date, since we started the lobby services, we've seen almost 83,000 in-person patrons since we started the service in May, and we've checked out almost 300,000 physical items since that time. And since October 1st, we have added the public computing component to it, and we've seen over 2,100 patrons use that service as well since October 1st. So we're definitely meeting needs in that regard. And so what that translates to is roughly or approximately each week, we're consistently averaging about 3,300 people a week system-wide, about 250 computer users system-wide per week, and then we're averaging about 11,500 physical checkouts per week, with the week before and the week after Thanksgiving being our busiest weeks we've seen to date. And so it continues to be robust, and the services seems to be working okay. And with that, that is my report on the COVID-19.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. Are there any questions for Mr. Beck on the board in regards to this this category? Okay. Mr. Beck, during this time, can you please share with the board the chief librarian update?
Okay. Thank you, board member Johnson, and members of the board. And so, real quickly, I just wanted to highlight a few of the items for the chief librarian report. We did touch on the Jane Austen event at the last meeting, so I'm happy to say over 400 people attended that virtual event. We have not been offering in-person programming since COVID, but we have adapted very well and are making a virtual and online presence. And so that Jane Austen event was attended by even people internationally. Currently, we're working on a virtual LibCon event, our, you know, our pop culture graphic novel comic book event, and so affectionately known as LibCon, and that's going to be on Saturday, January 16th, from 11 to 4:30. And so, while we cannot do a program of that magnitude physically, we are trying to do a limited version virtually, and we'll have about 5 or 6 panel discussions, some interactive pop culture events too, just to make sure that LibCon continues even during COVID, but we're gonna have that program done virtually. Mm-hmm. So, also just real quickly, we are in the midst of our budget process, and so I've been working with the city finance and community services departments to develop the library's budget. This traditionally is our same budget years when we develop the budget between then December and January. We're also taking a look at ways that we can promote our serials collection. So serials are what's called like magazines and newspapers. And so we're taking a look at that because those collections currently aren't available physically in our limited lobby services. But we are taking a look at a couple of demos or demonstrations for free that we can take a look and see if we're able to offer a magazine and a newspaper alternative virtually. And so we've got a couple of demos scheduled to look at that. Currently, there is some availability on OverDrive. You know, a year or two ago, OverDrive has a magazine and newspaper subsidiary and also some availability of materials. But we're also taking a look to see if we can find something robust. There's a few vendors out there, and so we're going to take a look at those products to see if we can meet the need for our magazines and newspaper patrons as well. And then finally, just a couple points. Just want to thank Cassandra Draws for presenting today. She has a big role. We had 9 previous people try to do parts of that system-wide, so it's up to her to consolidate and to organize our efforts holistically at system-wide. And then also, I'd be remiss too if I didn't take the time to thank former board member Karen Aborn for serving at least 7 years and 4 terms as a library board member. And so with that is my chief librarian report.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. Are there any questions for Mr. Beck during this time?
I have a question.
For Member Copa.
Does the library continue to receive subscriptions for the magazines and newspapers? Are they still coming in?
Yes. Oh. Yes, board member, they are.
But they're not available, or?
Right now, they're not currently available. We're taking a look at ways that we can make them available. So yeah, mainly it's for spatial reasons. Now, we have made some decisions to freeze them, so as a cost savings measure, so that way money's not being wasted. But on some of them, because we have 307 subscriptions, some of them we deal direct, some of them we have what's called a jobber that finds the materials for us, and then we pay a bill and get them in. So we are taking a look at that. We're looking at that holistically too to see what we can do in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So we have frozen quite a few of what we can.
Thank you.
And then hopefully we can repurpose that money into an electronic version that'll have digital access. Good question.
Right.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Beck? During this time, are there any board member comments and suggestions?
Oh, well, yes, Diane Coker, Chaya. Last spring, I think it was, I believe it was Dawn presented the summary of the grants that had been given to the library based on some very, very hard work on several staff members. And at the time, I thought, well, it would be a good thing for the library board to recognize those people either in a letter or some form of recognition, some sort of acknowledgement, because the amount of money that they garnered was huge. It was fantastic what happened as a result of their efforts. So anyway, I just wanted permission to write some sort of letter of acknowledgement from the board to present to those people. If I may, I guess I need permission to do that.
Well, not necessarily permission. We could just add that as an agenda item for next week. Since it would be something from a board initiative, we could just add that as an agenda topic for the next cycle or next meeting, if you like.
Okay.
Sure.
You have any comments, board member Snare?
No.
No? Okay. For those of you online, do you guys have any comments or suggestions?
Board member in Dabu Cactus District, Timothy, I would like to second that, I'm not sure if it's the appropriate time, that board member Coker's suggestion of writing a letter be placed on the agenda for our next meeting.
Thank you, board member Timothy Dabu. Are there any other comments and suggestions from the board?
If I may, this is board member Timothy Dapple again, I apologize.
No problem.
I would like to commend City Library's Chief Librarian, Mr. Beck, and the entire Glendale Library staff on the amazing job that they're doing during this crucial time, just facing so many crises and facing them head on and doing a wonderful job. I believe they should be commended.
Thank you, Board Member Davo, on behalf of the library staff. Thank you for that comment.
Our next meeting will be held on January 13th, 2021 at 6 o'clock p.m. in the board meeting room of the main library located at 5959 West Brown Street, Glendale, Arizona, 85302. Do I have a motion right now to adjourn this meeting?
Board Member Timothy Dabu, Cactus District, I would like to wish everybody a happy new year and motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I second. Lauren Sneer, I second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those that oppose? Thank you. Meeting is adjourned. Happy holidays, everybody.